Let's talk about the peace of God that passes understanding. You know, since we've spoken about love and joy, the first two fruits of the Holy Spirit, it just was on my heart to continue. This dynamic benefit we have in Christ is a peace that passes understanding. Meaning, we can be in situations we cannot figure out in our mind that seems beyond our natural abilities or beyond our own resources to handle, and still our mind and heart can be guarded by the peace of God. This is what Paul spoke about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer, all right, and supplication, with thanksgiving, meaning you know God's hearing you, you know He's wanting to help you, so go ahead and say thank you. You're requesting His help. You know He loves you. So make your request, your prayer supplication with thanksgiving. And then what happens? Then, with that confidence that He is there to hear and to help us, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that guard is wonderful. But it will keep the wrong things from getting in, and it will keep the wrong words from getting out. Because when we get stirred up on the inside, what starts moving? Our tongue. So when we can keep the peace of God keeping us inside, strengthening us, with knowing God, by knowing God's help, confidence of His help, it just keeps it both our emotions and our thoughts in check in such a wonderful way. And only God can give this peace. It is a peace that must be spiritual in nature. And therefore, it's going to arise in us from our inner man where the Spirit of God dwells. This is what Jesus said in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, but notice, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's not going to come. It's not as the world gives you. The world's peace must come in their treaties, in their agreement, in the resolution of their difficulties, but not the peace of Christ. The kind of peace that Christ gives us is strong enough that even in difficult and turbulent circumstances, His peace keeps us. It's not circumstantial. It's deep and abiding by His presence of the Holy Spirit in us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." This is good news for me. I watch the news, and you know what I get from watching the news? It's just trouble. Do you see the tribulation that's in the world? You know what I do when I get fed up with that? I just go to God and I say, "I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is King. And that He's Lord. He's Lord over presidents and over political parties and over national boundaries. And His kingdom is a kingdom for the poor. And when He comes and reigns, He's going to reign in righteousness. Amen. And He's going to establish peace and order. And all corruption and crime and wrong and malice will be gone when He reigns."
Amen.
So I can endure what we're going through right now. And when I'm tired of hearing about it, by faith, I just begin to thank God for His choice of our Lord Jesus Christ as King.
Amen.
I'm a citizen of heaven. And that's why in Him, I have peace. In Christ, I'm just at peace. Not too undone by the craziness we see going on in the world now. See, notice this statement I have here. The peace of God equals peace with God. Only a person that knows that God and them are one, at peace together, when you know that God is with you, God's favor is with you, that God's kindness is upon you, that He has your back, that He's there to help you, and He's there, His mercy will make up for the things that we do wrong, and His guidance will steer us into the way that is right. That assurance, having peace, of God brings us peace with God. And we enjoy this. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the word justified means having been made righteous. Having God set things straight. Being in a right relationship with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ brings us peace. We're at peace with God. We're happy with His laws, aren't we? We're not resisting them. We agree with them. We know that He's spoken His word for us for our own good. We don't believe that He's restrictive. We don't believe that He's mean. We believe in His kindness and His goodness. So we're at peace with Him. We're not hostile. This is the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 5? The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. But the mind of the natural man, you know what? Or the mind of the flesh is another way to put that. You remember what it says about the mind of the flesh? It says it's hostile towards God. It does not submit to God, nor can it do so. So those who are living according to their flesh, their sinful flesh, they can't experience this peace with God because they're struggling and they're under the influence of a mind that wants to go their own way, that's kicking against those beautiful guidelines that God has given us through His Word. And that the beautiful protection and guidance He gives us through His Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 57, he mentions this, that the wicked, those who have not yet been made their peace with God, those who still are living in a resistance and a rebellion to God, it says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. No peace. They can't experience peace. You know why? Because their lifestyle and their choices involve things that God has spoken and revealed that He is against. And you cannot be doing things that God is against and have peace. It's not possible. Christ and the Holy Spirit seeks to guide us into the way of peace. You know, you can have a fancy automobile and it can drive 80 miles an hour on the highway, and you know, you're free, aren't you? You are free to drive as fast as you want. It may not be very safe, but aren't you? These cars will go fast, fast, fast. Take that same car off the road, and how far will it go? Just take off across a field, and how fast will a Mustang go? It's not designed to go across the field, is it? It's designed to stay on the road, in between the lines. And if we choose to get out of the way of peace that God has made, you know what we're going to experience? Trouble. Drink too much and tell me you're not going to have trouble. Is God wise to say drunkenness is a sin? Ask people that are battling liver cirrhosis from alcohol if God is wise in trying to keep men from drunkenness. Ask people who are under the slavery of addiction to whether it's prescribed medication or illegal drugs. Either one. Ask them if God's guidance in encouraging us to exercise self-control, is that not wise? Those of us who are battling health issues because of poor diet, is God wise in saying we should do all things in moderation and self-control? He is. So our freedom is best preserved within His good guidelines, at peace with Him. Now, and before I go on, let me mention something. This peace is also something that the world loves to hear about. You know that the message of the false prophets, the foundation of the message of the false prophets is peace? You remember in Jeremiah chapter 23, when the Lord says, I am against the prophets who prophesy falsely in my name? Because you know what they're saying? They're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. See, there is no peace for the wicked. God is not going to tell a people who are living in disobedience, everything's good. A false prophet to be popular with men. It's a popular message. Everything is good. God, everything is okay. So be careful. Because the scripture is very clear. Psalms 119, 165 says this. Great peace have they who love thy law. Oh my. And I love the fact that the Bible says we should keep, if any man considers himself religious, he should keep a tight rein on his tongue. I love that law. You know why? I'm tired of putting my foot in my mouth. The tongue of the wise commends healing. God is very wise to tell us to think before we speak, to do everything without murmuring and complaining. What wisdom is there? How many times have we regretted saying something immediately after it left our mouth? Oh, great peace have they who love thy law. Those who study it out of love, not out of guilt, because they see the treasure in it. They see the counsel in it. They see the protection for them in God's law. And if you agree with God's law and you love God's law, your heart will be like David. David expressed this in Psalms 119. Thou hast set my heart free to run in the path of thy commands. Oh man, there's where life is good, when I'm living according to God's way. You know what happens? It goes well. It will be well with you. This is what our Lord said. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is what Peter gave us these instructions. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. And notice, as I have it highlighted in yellow, why do they stumble? They stumble being disobedient. They're not walking in this way of righteousness, in the way of peace. They're kicking against, they're struggling against submitting to God. When we know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves before him and we receive his instruction and his guidance, oh, it goes well with us. And when we resist his loving attempts to guide us, it's like we're a stubborn horse. Have you ever heard this saying? If you've heard it, finish the saying for me. You give a good horse. No, you haven't heard it? And my dad raised horses. I remember. You give a good horse its rein. You know what? You know what's at the end of that rein? There's a bit. There's this bit, and it's between these two metal bars. There's this bar that goes across, connecting the bars, and it's got this hump in the middle, and it's tied to the reins. And when you pull on those reins, you know what it does? It drives that little knuckle up into the mouth of that horse. And when that horse is getting stubborn, what do? When the horse is wanting to go its own way, you pull on that rein and you drive that knuckle up into the roof of its mouth, and it causes pain. But if that horse is doing what you want it to do, and there are horses that are so well trained, all the rider has to do is lean, and then a horse goes that way. And lean this way, and the horse goes that way. And you know what you do to that horse? You lay the rein upon its neck. It doesn't need any pressure on the mouth. And that's how God wants to guide us. He wants to guide us with his eye. He wants to guide us like a shepherd. He doesn't want to be forceful upon us. That's why he's given us his Holy Spirit. And so what happens is Isaiah chapter 33. This is where peace comes from. The work of righteousness will be peace. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So when our lives, when our relationship with God is right, you know what happens? Peace. We get to experience a peaceful, tranquil life. Calm. I love the song. One of my favorite lines in Silent Night, Holy Night is, all is calm. All. Doesn't it just, you sense that? It's what the beauty of the song. Let me give you a picture. This is a picture of what spiritual serenity looks like. You see that? You see the calmness of the water? It's not stirred, is it? It's not agitated. It's calm. And you know what? You know what the surface of a lake reflects when it's like a sea of glass? What does it reflect? It reflects the heavens. It reflects that light which is coming down from above. And when you and I, if we experience this dynamic spiritual peace, the light of God is reflecting upon, off of us in a beautiful way that people can recognize. Especially when the circumstances shouldn't be producing that kind of peace in us. Now, anyone can have peace if everything's good. But what about if your job, or you work for someone, or you're under a lot of stress, you're in a situation where there is a lot of external pressure, and you still manifest a beautiful peace? You see the powerful witness that's there? And see, we know that the righteous shall live by faith, and that's what pleases God. And when we are in that place where our trust in God, our confidence in God is steady, we're looking at Him, He's keeping us in peace. Like that verse that says, thou wilt keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is steadfast because He's stayed upon thee. When our gaze is clearly fixed upon the Lord and it's producing in us a calm peace, it's a beautiful testimony. And not only is it a beautiful testimony, you know what it is for a lot of us? What it would be? Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace is life to the body. Tell me what. It's not the number one cause of illness. There's genetic factors. There's external factors like virus and disease and corruption. But what will doctors say is probably the most primary aggravator, or given the natural factors, what is the most common denominator of those things that make our health worse? And in our society, it's a major concern. What is everyone dealing with? Stress. A heart at peace is not stressing your body out. You know what autoimmune is, don't you? Yeah. Autoimmune is that classification of disease where the body is fighting itself. And it wears itself down. It causes inflammation of many kinds, and it is debilitating in many ways. A heart at peace, just like we talked about last week, a joyful heart is good medicine. So we talked about putting a jar in your medicine cabinet, so the joy of the Lord. And we need to take some joy pills. Well, your next bottle needs to be, take peace. Make sure your heart is at peace. If you're tempted to be anxious, what should you do? Okay, what should you do? There you go. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but everything through prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is something we can experience because, listen to this very carefully, and I want you to think about it. Peace and calm is not the absence of conflict. It's not. There is men. And how do we know that? You know, Jesus was very interesting in this way. He knew that the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, were trying to kill him. Right? And he knew that when he was invited to one of their banquets, that there would be people there at dinner that were wanting his death. And I believe he enjoyed dinner more than anyone else in the room. He could say, yeah, would you accept dinner? Would you go to somewhere where you knew there was going to be people there who wanted you dead? And yet he was so at peace, so dependent upon his Father. Because you know what he would say to people when they were saying, oh, you're in great danger. Remember what he said? My time not yet come. I'll be here as long as my Father has me here. Man, that's peaceful. See, I don't want, if peace is so flimsy that it has to be propped up by having everything cushy and everything handed to us on a silver platter, what's it worth? Man, I want a peace that passes understanding. I want a peace that is durable and able to keep me stable, even in difficulty. So peace is not the absence of external conflict. It is the internal assurance of confidence in God. And if I'm confident, you know that scripture, we know it. If God be for us. But don't you fear terrorism? Isn't that a terrible thing? That someone might walk through that back door with a gun and might send me to heaven early? Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that do no more. You mean all they can do is send me to heaven early? That's it. That's it. Put a postage stamp on me. They may think they killed me. You know what they did? They rid me from this physical body. It's a tent, right? And how many of us are just so concerned that you preserve this physical body of yours? Isn't it so great? Maybe if you're 18, you feel that way. But if the numbers are switched the other way around, it's kind of become a heavy tent to carry around all the time. Okay, but that's confidence in God. See, that's belief that there's this life. We just endure this life to the end. And our Christ Jesus is our life. And when you have that kind of internal assurance from confidence in God, you can experience this beautiful peace. And so we talked, let's go back to the verse again. We can't say this verse enough. We are, Philippians 4:6, we are to be anxious for nothing. Okay, so fill it in. You got a surgery coming up? Don't be anxious. What about those of you who are waiting on the report? You've had tests and you're waiting on the report. Yeah. What are you supposed to be? What if it's bad news? Does it surprise you that your body's wearing down when Paul said outwardly we waste away? Have you figured out that we're all getting older? You know, people used to die of old age. Now something kills them. Have you thought about that? They just tell you now what's causing it. In the past, they just assumed you were going to wear out. But now they tell you which part is wearing out and what's it going to do, about how much longer you have. We're silly to get caught up in these things. Life is more than the body, Jesus said. You know what he said? Life is more than the body. We shouldn't let these things make us anxious. We need to be a people. How can we be a peacemaker if we're not at peace ourselves? You know, me, Mr. Busy, I feel like you can pray for me. I feel like I am a Mary heart and a Martha body. And if you'll have to study that. If you don't know what I mean, you know, Martha is the one that she's so busy serving, you know. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha was having to do all the work, so she went to Jesus. He said, Jesus, tell Mary to help us. And Jesus said, Martha, you're concerned about many things. Well, that's me. I'm concerned about many things, you know. Busy, busy. Preocupado in Espanol is what they say. But if you're doing it all unto the Lord, you know, it's just, you don't really kind of notice. You get busy and you just keep going. And then, but you know what? Others watching, you know what they're always afraid of? You're going to do something. What do they have these two words? Burn out. Well, that's so bad? Is it so bad to burn out? Give all you can. You know? Give all you can.
Give all you can
and
don't burn out.
No, the key to not burning out is you got to sing that song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. You just need to be filled with the Spirit continually, right? If you run out of gas because you don't stop at the gas station, whose fault is that? All right? Let's don't do that, okay? Look, if we present our supplications and our requests to God regularly, then the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the word anxiety, be anxious for nothing. Let me give you a little bit stricter or more precise, not stricter, precise definition. In the Greek, it's merimnao. Meri is to be divided. Nao is to think. So it's be divided in your thoughts. Literally, it's to be drawn in opposite directions. Like the ping pong game in your mind. You know when you do that? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if it's it? Well, what if? Well, that. What does that make you? Dizzy? I bring what? Exhausted? Worn out? What if it doesn't matter? What if it's not important to know whether it's this or this? Because God will be with me whether it's this or this. You see the answer? Stop looking. Don't be torn apart. Because what's it produce? Apprehensiveness, uneasiness, restlessness, and trouble. That's what it produces. It does not produce a peace that passes understanding. See, God's peace can turn stress into rest. Next slide, if you would. Back there. You see the word stress there? All the letters in rest can come right out of stress. Right? Just do a little arranging. You know? Just do a little rearranging. Let God rearrange your mind. Because what starts out as temptation, this is what's a beautiful thing. What starts out as temptation to worry can become the beautiful escape of worship. I come under attack at times. I have thoughts at times. Thoughts that are temptations for me to follow. You ever have those? Those trains of thoughts that are all they're to do is to draw you away from confidence in Christ. To draw you away from your focusing upon Christ and get you thinking about the what ifs and the what, oh, hope not, and all those thoughts. And see, that's temptation. And we all know what that is. You start feeling it. The thoughts are there. You know, you can't necessarily stop the thought from being there, but you can resist, can't you? And you can enjoy this promise. No temptation has taken us but what? That which is common to man. And the Lord is faithful. So even though I'm battling, I know that God is faithful. And He's not going to allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to bear. But along with the temptation, what's He going to provide? A way of escape. You know what that way of escape is for me? Man, when I listen to the news and the Democrats this and Trump this. It's just like, oh man. Oh, here's my way of escape. Lord Jesus, I am so glad you're going to be coming. I am so grateful. This is what the prophet said about the activities of the nations. When God weighs all the activities of the nations on His scale, you know what they come out to? You know how much they weigh? Less than nothing. Because the perspective of how mighty God is to how all this great activity on the earth is just His ways are so much higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. And let me give you one example. Do you know that in 1 second, Our sun produces more energy than all the energy ever produced by any nation from the beginning of time till now. In 1 second. And God made billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. Earth has almost 7 billion, approaching 8 billion people soon. Are we running out of anything, really? They're still finding stores and stores of oil, right? Still finding stores and stores of natural gas. Think about it. Did God not think this through? And has He not made awesome provision for the earth? He certainly has. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing. So when we are tempted to worry, He's already aware. Remember that. Even though we're instructed to bring Him our prayers and petitions, you know, He already knows we need. Didn't know what the scripture says? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things before you ask. That's why in Jeremiah, one of the things that the Lord revealed to Jeremiah was, in that day, before they call, I will answer. That's pretty amazing. That even before we pray, the answer's on its way. Isn't that something? He's just, that's help from above. That's blessed assurance. Wow. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's just good news. We already spoke about this way of escape in 1 Corinthians. So go to Psalm 73, if you would. And we're going to end with just these thoughts today. In Psalm 73, the psalmist was experiencing being torn apart in his mind. He was under temptation. He was battling, succumbing to the turmoil around him. So I've just selected some passages. I'm not reading the whole passage, but I've selected some parts of Psalm 73 for us and put them together. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he goes on to say, when I thought to understand how to understand this, it was too painful for me. And what did it produce? When he was trying to understand the injustice that he saw, it was painful. Just like it is for us when we try to, why do these things happen? Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. He just lost his peace temporarily. He lost the calmness in his heart, in his mind. And then he goes on. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh and my heart may fail. So may yours. But if your life is hidden with Christ in God, your life is not affected. Spiritual life, eternal life is not affected. If you are already in Christ now, no one can take your life. And no one should be able to take that assurance. No one should be able to take whatever the results are. Whatever they are, right? Whatever they are. So would it help you to know you're going to live another 50 years? Or just maybe the end of this year? Is there really a difference? We're only talking about your physical body, right? Your eternal life in Christ is secure. So that you don't have to allow the physical, what happens to your physical body And the trouble that Jesus said we're going to have on this earth, we don't have to allow that to affect us. God's peace comes from His presence. God's peace comes from His presence. You know it. I'm going to start from the very beginning. And we'll get to this part. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, are you walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Some doctor has told you you've got something that's going to kill you? Did you not know you were going to die? Did you not know that? Whether a doctor tells you that or not, you know what's going to happen to your physical body? You're going to die. So though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because Thou art with me.
Amen.
You won't abandon me. You don't keep me from walking in the valley. I'm going to go through the valley, but Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'm comforted. I can experience the comfort of God even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear any medical evil. I don't have to fear any evil from terrorists. I don't have to fear the evil from the Republicans or the Democrats or Fox News or CNN. I don't have to fear any of that. I don't have to fear North Korea. I don't have to fear the Russians hacking into our election system. I just don't have to fear any of that. I don't fear any evil. Thou art with me. I'm in peace. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he stayed on that. And that's what I want us to experience. This is our ministry. We're the salt and light of the earth. And if our peace is in Christ, then here we have an opportunity to be peacemakers. So in your jobs, in your home, in your marriages, in your family, when everyone else is unsettled, when they get disturbed and anxious about all that's going on. You know what you should do? You don't have to say a lot. You don't have to become a preacher. You know what you need to do? Just in your heart and in your mind, keep your eyes on Jesus. You ever notice how, if you ever walked along and you've seen someone doing this, what do you do? What do you tend to do? You look where they're looking, don't you? Yeah. Make sure you know where you're looking. Get your eyes off of things down here, right? Fix your thoughts on things above, not on earthly things. Make sure we are looking to Jesus Christ. Make sure we are remembering God's beautiful promises that regardless of what may happen in the physical life around us, we have a treasure reserved for us in heaven that no thief can steal, and it can't be corrupted by any moth or rust. It won't rust. We're rich. Our bodies can wear out or be taken out, either way, but our life is secure. We're in a win-win situation, aren't we? Aren't we in a win-win situation? Even the difficulty that our God allows us to experience, it's only temporary, right? It's only light and momentary, right? Not only is it light and momentary, God works it together for good. That's win-win. That's win-win to a man of faith. That's when our heart is right. That's when our faith is strong. And you remember, even Jesus' disciples, and it's going to happen to you. Okay, it's going to happen to you. We know it, all right? It's going to happen to us. We're going to get unsettled. And what is Jesus going to say to us? Just like he said to the disciples. What did he tell his disciples when they panicked? What did he tell them? Oh, ye of... Okay. So you know what the answer is? Strengthen your faith, okay? Strengthen your faith. That's the answer. Because fear and anxiety come from being conscious of how near trouble is, right? Think about it. Fear and anxiety come from being conscious of how near trouble is. And peace and calm come from being conscious of how near God is. God's got my back. And you know what I'm confident of? How does the 23rd Psalm end? We stopped. I don't know if you noticed, we stopped. How does it end? Something's following me. Something's following me. What was following that man? Goodness and mercy. Oh man. That's a lot to be afraid of. God goes before you and goodness and mercy come behind you. You think he's able to take care of us? Yeah, he is. He is. Look at us here today. We went even through a church. We went through some pretty trying times, didn't we? Did God abandon us? No. I believe he's good enough to bless those who stayed here and all those who've gone somewhere else. That's a good God. All right, let's pray.